Hey everyone, I've got exciting news to tell you, but before all that, it's a crazy little thing called Love Dev. Today's episode is 108, Fashion Trash. Yes, that's right. I do have some exciting news for you all, and I can't wait to share it. But that will be later on in the show. I've got to keep you guys in track, because if I tell you now, you'll be like, oh, well, I don't need to listen to the rest of the podcast. So, yeah. Hello, everybody. How are we? I'm very well. I'm in a good space, shall we say. Not like space where India landed on the moon and stuck up a shop. I mean, like, I'm in a good mood. Mood? No, that's not the right word. I'm in a good place. Place. That's what I meant. Place, not space. I am. I think things are going really well for me lately. I'm a lot more positive. I'm so happy right now. Honestly, my life couldn't get any better. And yeah, I always have to remember that it's took me a long time to get where I am now. And that's down to gigs and stuff and you guys listening to this podcast, all 40 of you. I think I've only got like 40 listeners. When I first started, I was getting hundreds. Now, yeah, no, it's died down a bit. But let's not talk about that, because that will just get me down. And I'm already in a good mood, as I mentioned. I've been busy as usual. Sorry, it's been a late podcast. I was thinking to do one today, and I thought, yeah, I think I better do it. Because when I get those regular emails from the company that I use to promote these podcasts, they charge you like $18. It's a USA company. I thought, I'm just wasting money here, aren't I? Being a South Asian, we don't like wasting money. If anything, it's the opposite. We like to save money. So let's try and save it for today. So yeah, welcome to another episode. As always, I have been busy. I was done a couple of festivals quite lately. I did a festival in White Cliffs of Dover, a little place called Deal. Now, the deal about that one was, it took me so long to get there. It took me like 5 hours from where I live to drive all the way to Deal. And it was supposed to take me between 3.5 to 4 hours. It took me 5 hours. I couldn't believe it. I mean, when I got there, I was just like so relieved. It was a nice little gig. They had a marquee on a beach. So I've never gigged on the beach until that day. It was a beautiful little pebble beach, which reminded me of a little bit like the beach in Brighton. If anyone's ever been to Brighton, you'll know what I'm talking about. It's very, very similar to that. So that's right near the Cliffs of Dover that I've never seen. And the funniest thing is I opened with, it's so white in here, it's like the Cliffs of Dover. And that got a massive laugh, and I think that eased them straight in. Went into my set, brilliant. Then I left to get home. And that took me another 4 hours to get home because I ended up being in traffic. And then I realised how horrendous the M25 is. The M25 that circles all the way around London, on the outskirts of London, it's absolutely awful. I don't know how people get licences to drive on motorways, but they need to be revoked. Because I was just thinking, oh my God, like, I can see why so many accidents happen. And actually, a comedian who came into my mind, who has passed away, sadly, due to a car accident on the actual M25, was a guy named Gareth Richards, and he came into my head. I'm not going to lie, I was driving and I was thinking, I can see why he had an accident, because it was, I just didn't feel safe on the M25. And I've been on it many times, but that particular day, it was a Friday, and I suppose it was that time where people are going home from work, and it was the end of the holiday season for kids. So I think everyone was just getting back from wherever they were, and it was it was nice. So yeah, he did come into my mind, but the gig was wonderful. I had a great gig. I've done other festivals in between. I did one yesterday, actually. I was at in where was I? I was all the way up in Rotherham. Yeah, Rotherham. It was another festival, smaller than the one I did last week. But yeah, it was great, and I really enjoyed it. The tent was full of people. It was absolutely jam packed. I'd say near towards the end of my set, there were so many people in there. I had lots of audience members come up to me afterwards telling me that I was great. And yeah, man, when you get feedback like that, you know, it gives you a real big boost. One lady in particular told me that she loved how edgy I was, and she said she wished she saw more comics doing that. And that's, I think that's one of my key things now, is to be edgy but with comedy, with humor behind it. And there's always a meaning or a story behind my jokes. I've always explained that. So yeah, I've had a great day. I had another gig after that. Unfortunately, it was fairly quiet. The promoter was trying his best to put on a comedy night, and it was the second birthday of this gig. Fortunately, there wasn't as many people as we expected. There was a massive gap, though. I was like, so it's so weird when you go to a gig and the first couple of rows are always empty. But this one, there were like four or five rows were empty, and then everyone was sat at the back, and I had to address it. I just had to say, you know, you've come to see comedy, and sometimes comedians need people closer to them because it's an intimate moment. You know, it's something we want to share with you. We're not going to pick on you. Not every comedian does that. If anything, we just want you in front of us. So yeah, that was great. But I've had some other stuff which I'll tell you about, which isn't comedy related. So let's move on to a Ask the UK question, as always, brought from Reddit. I love the Ask the UK. Can't even say the word, because it all relates to questions about the United Kingdom, and I'm guessing people are in other countries want to know. Anyway, someone has wrote, what new law would you introduce to the UK if you could? Interesting question. One of mine would be, you can't click your knuckles. That would be one of my laws, because I absolutely hate when people click their fingers. Oh my God, it goes right through my body. That would be one of them. Second, you guys already know, and that's, you need to take a driving test to get on the motorway. That's it. End of story. I can't think of any more. There's going to be a lot more, but I want to know what this guy's put. He has put down, my would be speeding fines should be tied to inertia. So a truck carrying 20 tons caught above the speed limit should receive a fine far higher than a 50cc moped doing the same speed. Okay, that's interesting. I guess, yeah, because what trucks are massive anyway. It shouldn't really be doing more than 20 miles an hour, I think, on the road. But if it's got a lot of weight on its back, it's going to take it longer for it to slow down. So does that mean that we reduce the speed down to 10 miles an hour? So it's got more time to stop. But then it needs speed to able to pull the weight. Yeah, I don't think that makes any sense either. That's one of the questions he's put. I want to know what other people have said, because he hasn't got any more than that, to be honest, folks. So someone else has commented on this, all within my hands. They have said, anytime a news outlet, so that's a paper shop, be that a paper, TV, news or internet, publishes a story with accusations that later turn out to be false, they must publish a clarification that commands the same coverage as the offending article. For example, if a newspaper prints a full front page story that turns out to be false, the clarification must be a full front page clarification. The Sun newspaper in the UK is a very typical newspaper that tells lies, because, you know, I've mentioned it ages ago in one of my old podcast episodes. about a story that they added on to. There was no apology about it afterwards. They weren't like, oh, we did kind of make this story up. Newspapers are basically like the Netflix, aren't they? So they add bits to stories to make it more, what's the word? Engaging, shall we say? Yeah, I don't think that is the word either. Anyway, other people have put, I'd bring back dueling, but only with sausages. I like that. Find people who sit at traffic lights and only turn their indicator on at the very last minute. That's a good one. Someone's put a ban on multiple home ownership. There's countless laws I want to see brought in. But that's the big one. That was today's law. If you could bring a law into the UK, apart from banning my podcast, what would you suggest? I mean, you can contact me via Instagram, Facebook. I would love to know. Maybe I can talk about it in the next episode. Who knows? One thing I would definitely not ban is gaming festivals. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I went to that gaming festival that I think I mentioned earlier on. I think I mentioned it in the last podcast. I can't remember now. Well, anyway, those of you who don't know, it's a festival called Insomnia, and it's just full of gamers. So PC gamers, Sega, Nintendo. I don't know why I said Sega. They don't exist anymore. But they had old Sega consoles there. I think that's what I meant. Yeah, Nintendo, PCs, you know, Intel, loads of games were there, like Tekken. Tekken 8 was there, and that's not even out. And then they just had loads of like different screens there. It was fantastic. I really, really enjoyed it. I took my son with me, went on the train, and he loves a good train ride. So we took him on the train. It was just me and him. We spent the whole day there just playing games and just, you know, nice little father and son bonding moment. Because he loves these little video games. He loves playing on his Nintendo Switch, on his little PC laptop that I bought for him. Early Christmas present, and it wasn't cheap. So he's got a gaming laptop. Yeah, it was great, man. There was a couple of characters there from that do voices for certain games. Thought, I can't be bothered to queue up. Because there's loads of people who wanted autographs and stuff. But I thought, oh, I've seen them now. That will do. Hopefully, I was thinking to myself, I'd love to do that. I'd love to be a voiceover for a particular game. That would be fantastic. So yeah, we had a great time down the gaming festival, and I think I'd go again. If you're into your gaming, I'd highly recommend it. It was at the NEC in Birmingham. And the great thing about the NEC is so accessible, so easy to get to on the train or on the bus. It's quicker on the train, to be honest. And it takes like 5 minutes from the train station to walk into the NEC, which is amazing. And the best thing about it, the airport is right there. So if you were, I don't know, let's say you're listening from Scotland or somewhere in Europe and you're thinking, oh, we don't have this in our country, I'd love to go. Go check them out. It's called Insomnia. I think the next one is in April next year. That's 2024. It's a 3-day festival. You can buy a weekend pass or you can just go for the day. And there's like loads of little stalls there. People are selling stuff, you know, T-shirts, games, anime products. They have a massive stage and there's loads of performances happening on that stage, people talking about games. It's just a weekend for gamers, and I'm a gamer. I love gaming, do you know what I mean? I know I'm an old guy now, but I can't let go of it, do you know what I mean? I was playing video games from the age of 7, 8, and I've just always been a massive fan of it. And it just, for me, it's a little thing that, you know, it's a little time pass thing. My new thing now is writing, actually. I've been writing so much, guys. I think I've said this before, and I love it. I love how I'm transitioning from one-liners into stories now, but I'm using the one-liner skill to add punchlines to stories. And a part of me wishes I did stories a long time ago, but then the other bit is, well, it took you a time to get to understand the whole craft of writing a decent, good one-liner. But now I've got that, you know, I'm putting both skills together. And there's just so much more to learn, I think, in comedy in general anyway. We're all performing when we're on stage. Yeah, I've even thought about going into acting or doing some drama classes. You know, just to boost, maybe it will help. Who knows? I don't know. But anything is possible. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Right, let's do a quick no stupid questions. I love no stupid questions. You guys know I love no stupid questions. So let's do it right now. Okay, no stupid questions. Now, I'm going to be honest, ladies and gentlemen. This question, right, it's not actually a stupid question. I read a bit of it, and basically there's a debate going on in the UK about dogs, right? A lot of you have probably already heard this. Those of you who live in the UK will know, outside won't know as much, but there is a breed of dog called the XL Bully, which I think originates from the United States. And the UK, the Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak, has decided to ban them over because there has been a lot of attacks quite recently. I think a young 11-year-old boy was attacked and he was just playing out his front yard, playing football, soccer for you Americans. And unfortunately, a dog got loose and attacked him. Very unfortunate. And there was someone else only a couple of days ago, I think it was a week ago, and the man passed away from getting attacked from a very similar type of breed of dog. I think it was the same breed, to be honest. So yeah, this kind of relates to it, and I feel like this guy is based in the UK who has asked this question. So it's kind of like a ask the UK / no stupid question. I will try my best to answer it. I mean, I'm not an expert, but I will give my own views. I'm not sure how some of you might feel about it, but I'm going to be honest. So let's see what they have put first of all. It's been posted by Glad _ Warning on No Stupid Questions Reddit forum. He has said, when did pit bulls become so evil? Well, they don't just become evil, do they? It's like anyone else in life, you know, when... It's like I've said it before, it's always psychological. It has to be. If to get a killer, a murderer, or, you know, a serial killer, there's things that have happened in their lives that have made them become like that. Irresponsible owners, I think, is the main reason. I do have my own views, as I said. It's put down, when I was growing up, it was Rottweilers that were the most terrifying dog. What happened? Yeah, I remember Rottweilers were a big thing about it, but they're not on the banned list. People always get scared of Rottweilers. When you see, like, warning signs, dog in the house, it's always a picture of a Rottweiler or a Doberman. You'll never see a picture of a pit bull. Those pit bulls are always, like, you know, I think they came later on after all these signs were made. What I've noticed is now... I don't want to be stereotypical, but most of the videos that I've seen, I've been in Asian areas. And I think, this is my own opinion, you can totally be against it, but I'm going to admit it. I know, well, I don't know, but I used to know someone who knew someone else who used to fight dogs, and I was totally against that. Like... You know, they were all Asian and they were using these pit bulls and stuff, you know, American bulldogs, and to make them fight. And I think a lot of these dogs that go on a ravage, on a, you know, get loose, are these dogs that are trained to do it? I genuinely believe that this is what's happening. I feel like someone should speak out about it. I used to have a friend who had a dog. He got hold of this pit bull dog. Beautiful dog it was. And... He said to me, he said, oh, I want to make it fight. And I was like, what do you mean? You can't make this dog fight, man. It's got such a good heart. It was great around me. It was great around other people. And he was trying to make it fight. And I was like, you're just an idiot. And you don't deserve this dog at all. You know, a part of me felt like reporting him, but he was one of my best friends at the time. I generally think that's what it is. I could be wrong, but I do think it's... people that are trying to make dog fights and using these dogs. That's where all these dogs have come from. You know, the big, the strong, and that's what they're doing. I've actually got a cousin who has an XL Bully, which is the one that they've actually banned, and it's a puppy. and he's only a couple of months old. She sent me this petition that's going on to get the ban lifted, you know, because she's absolutely devastated, and she's had Doug for many years. She's actually got another two dogs she's had previous in the past, and they've all, you know, they've all gone to dog heaven, but she's absolutely devastated, and I feel for her, you know, because once you've got a family pet, that like I said, you know, family comes into the world, doesn't it? It becomes part of the team, the family. It's absolutely, I don't know where to stand in this, you know. That's why I'm a cat lover, because cats don't do anything, do they? Oh, mind you, people are getting bigger cats these days. That's another story. I want to know what other people have said about this. Someone's put down, I remember German Shepherds and Dobermans being the world's most dangerous dogs. Someone else has put, after Rottweilers were considered dangerous, breeders became more careful about who they sold their dogs to. So the insecure, I want a weapon on a leash crowd moved on to the next killing machines they could parade around. Once pit bulls are tightly restricted, the crowd will find a new dog to use for their purposes. Absolutely. Basically, what that person has said, you know, people are using these dogs as weapons. And it's really unfortunate. And society has changed. It's always, oh, who's got the biggest dog? Which one looks the meanest? And I don't agree with it at all. So, yeah, it's not a good thing, is it, ladies and gentlemen? Let's be honest. It's very debatable. Let's hope they don't ban these dogs and my cousin can get to keep her XL bully puppy. Bless him. Right, guys, I think I'm going to tell you the good news before we move on to the weird news story. Yes, it is great news. Basically, I have got an agent. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for the applause. Yeah, it's fantastic. That was the big news. I've got an agent. Her name's Susanna Clark. She runs Ingenious Fools. We had a little couple of chats before Edinburgh Fringe Festival back in June, July. We spoke about this. A friend of mine recommended me to her, and she contacted me, and we spoke, and I sent her some videos. She likes what I've done. Other promoters have spoken to her, apparently, and they're well chuffed that she signed me up. Yeah, man, it's so good. I can't believe it. Like, I feel like it's the next step in my career. Like, I mean, there's so many clubs I want to get into, and it's so difficult. I don't know how you get into these big clubs. I've tried. I feel like they ignore my emails, and hopefully she can do something for me. And my ambition is, obviously, to start, you know, doing support slots, doing TV shows, warm-ups, you know, stuff like that. And already doing the corporate and the army gigs, so I'm more or less there, really. I just got to keep working on my material, which is why I love doing the stories now, because it's just expanded me even better. So that is the news. I have an agent. Yay. Yeah, man, I'm well chuffed. So, yeah, let's get on with the podcast. Let's finish on a good note. It's time to do the weird news story. Today's weird news story comes all the way from the United States. I saw the title straight away. This is the one I'm going to talk about. Because the title got me. Like, I've just read the title. And yeah, anyway, here it is. Imposter does catwalk in trash bag at a New York Fashion Week, and no one notices until security intervene. The whole irony of it is he was walking around in a trash bag. And everyone thought it was a new fashion, which kind of sums up fashion, doesn't it, in a whole general. Anyway, let's do the story. So the catwalk, which was hosted by social media agency Creators Inc., was open and models were strutting their stuff up and down. Then one person entered the runway in New York wearing a shower cap, swimming shorts and a plastic cape type of thing over their topless body. It looked either like a trash bag or one of those plastic ponchos you can sometimes see handed out at festivals when it rains. Either way, it certainly made a statement. The person was greeted as any other model on the catwalk with plenty of cheers and applause, but all was not as it seemed. As the model neared the end of the runway, a security officer can be seen chasing him down. Then at the end of the catwalk, the security guard grabbed hold of him and dragged him from the runway, leaving the audience nonplussed. They probably thought it was part of the show. It seems that the model was in fact not showing off a fashion statement, but was actually an intruder. After the video was shared on social media, many took to the comments to share their thoughts, with one person quipping, "That is not garbage, but garbage." Another said, "I swear these runway outfits get trashier each year." A third revealed they had briefly been taken in by the intruder, writing, "I literally thought new fashion." Since the video was posted, some people have suggested that the intruder was a YouTube prankster by the name of Fred Bayer. Shout out to Fred Bayer. Bayer posts a variety of prank videos on his YouTube channel, which has over 300,000 subscribers, in a similar vein to this stunt. He shared a screenshot from the video to his Instagram story, but has not yet confirmed it was him. It was definitely him. Nonetheless, it is unclear how the intruder managed to make his way into the fashion show. This is not the first time that someone has created a conversation after imitating a piece of art or design. In 2016, teenagers Kevin and TJ took the art world by storm when they put a pair of spectacles on the floor of an art gallery. Only for visitors to think that it was one of the exhibits. It would be easy to descend into about the ridiculousness and banality of modern art and fashion from these examples. While there's no denying they are funny, there is also something more reflective to be found here. In a society which idolizes a Protestant work ethic, hard work is a virtue in and of itself, whether or not it is useful. We might want to feel as though a piece of design or art has had a lot of hours put into it. It's the work or the progress behind the piece which makes it good, not the art or the fashion piece itself, which a statement has said. When someone enters a fashion show wearing a trash bag with some glasses on the floor, it changes everyone's views. In an ironic twist, the prankster who entered the world of art and fashion to take the mickey often end up becoming part of the dialogue. There we go. That was today's weird news story. So basically a fashion, somebody playing a prank on a fashion show. There we go, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you enjoyed today's podcast episode. If you enjoyed it, hey everyone, I've got exciting news to tell you. But before all that, it's a crazy little thing called Love Dev. Today's episode is 108 Fashion Trash. Give it a little share, give it a like, give it a thumbs up. Maybe leave a comment on the reviews. That would work so much for me and it will help me boost my social media. Right, ladies and gentlemen, I will speak to you soon, hopefully. Take care. Ta-da.